Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
The Kings came into LA and shut down the Lakers across the street. Do the Lakers have a glaring weakness that could affect their postseason hopes? Plus, from Oakland to the Bay, Sactown, all the way down, Golden State sent a statement to the league, blowing out the Bucks in the Bay. But which version are the real Warriors? And the Celtics are in Denver tonight in a potential finals preview. Which team would surprise us more if they didn't make the finals? NBA Today with Chinay starts right now. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Intuit Credit Karma. We start today with breaking news this morning. The number one seed in the West could be without their second leading scorer. Karl Anthony Towns has suffered a left meniscus injury. Kat is in his ninth season with Minnesota, and this is by far the best team they've had during his tenure. Our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, reported this news early this morning. So, Woj, what can you tell us about Kat's health?
Chinay, a left meniscus injury for Karl Anthony Towns. He's getting further evaluation today, and both he and the team, the doctors, are trying to decide whether Karl Anthony Towns is going to need an immediate action, whether there needs to be a procedure, or can he continue to play with some, you know, form of rehab. And that's what they're evaluating right now. They expect to have an answer, you know, fairly soon. But it's still unclear about how much time, if any, Karl Anthony Towns will miss with this left knee injury. You know, certainly he's had an outstanding season for a team that's atop the Western Conference standings, 22 points a game, 43% from three, made his fourth All-Star game this season. But, you know, I think we'll know more here, perhaps in the next 24 hours, about the extent of this left knee injury and the possibility that Karl Anthony Towns, you know, again, may have to get a procedure or will be able to play through this, perhaps address it in the offseason. That's what they're trying to decide.
That's a very difficult decision. Now, if he is out for a significant amount of time, is there still hope for him to get back in the playoffs?
That's unclear, Chinay. I think right now there are no timelines. There's no procedure set. But I think potentially certain, certainly the hope is that if there is some sort of procedure that he could get back, especially with a team built to make a deep playoff run. But I think it's still premature. I think they've got to decide the severity of this injury and what the course of action is going to be required.
Okay, Woj, thank you so much. Please stick around because given this news, here is how the Timberwolves have fared with and without Kat on the floor. They have been much better offensively with Towns on the floor, obviously, this season. But their concern is that their 106 offensive efficiency with him off the floor, that is worse than the last ranked offensive team, the Memphis Grizzlies. And I really want to get our NBA senior writer, Brian Windhorst, his take on this. Because, Brian, what does this injury prognosis mean for Kat and the Timberwolves, given that they're going to be missing for some time someone that gives you, what, 22 points a game and is a 42% three-point shooter?
Well, you don't just replace an all-star. That's clear, no matter how much time he misses. The Wolves are equipped with some reasonable depth in their big man spots. In the initial response here, I think you will see Kyle Anderson spend more time playing the power forward position. Also, they have Naz Reid to bring off the bench to be part of their big man rotation. Naz Reid is one of the best backup big men in the league. And I think what you'll see, especially with Anderson, is that the Wolves will be able to be a little bit quicker. One of the things that you see with Karl Towns, as great of an outside shooter as he is, he does slow the team down a little bit. So one of the things that they're going to have to do to generate offense is to get going a little bit and move the ball in transition. this is not necessarily a season-ending situation for the Wolves. They are equipped. They are an excellent defensive team, even when Carl is not on the court. And they have a good, deep roster. I think the important thing for them is try to do whatever you can to get Carl Towns in position to play in an eventual series with the Denver Nuggets. And that might, hopefully not be for a long time from now, which leaves a lot of options on the table.
Thank you, Wendy. Now, there is no dull day in the Western Conference, truly. Let's say hello to the rest of our panel. Hall of Famer Becky Hammond here, of course, alongside front office exec Scott Perry. I'm your girl, Shanae Ogunwike, and for Malika Andrews. So the team at the top of the West is down a key player, but let's check in on the teams fighting to get out of the play-in as the Lakers hosted the Kings last night. Now, this one was very important. The Lakers are in a huge stretch, so let's roll the highlight as we go to the Lakers versus the Kings, because look, early first quarter, the Lakers were up three, and watch this play right here. Off the miss, LeBron James. I said yesterday, it looks like he's playing Madden. This was a touchdown pass.
Oh, yeah, it looks like Patrick Mahomes right there.
Okay, that's a little Mahomes, a little Brady. Now, I know LeBron wants a Super Bowl, aka NBA championship, but they have some work to do. Now, watch this again. Oh, my goodness. LeBron, poster, what? And the bench absolutely loves it. Becky, I mean, you're 39 of life, you're 21 of the NBA. This is what we're seeing from him.
I mean, it's disgusting what at this age. I mean, and here's the thing. His force and how he plays the game, his willingness to put his body on the line. Now, granted, we know he's shooting more threes in his older age,
right.
But just the threat and the ability to still do plays like that is scary.
And since we're talking about putting the body on the line, I mean, Sabonis was putting in work versus the Lakers too, but here, De'Aaron Fox, tough turnaround jumper right there.
Yeah, he set the tone for this team, I believe, and when he gets downhill, that makes the Kings a tough team to beat.
They are. Now, just over 10 minutes left in regulation. What, the Kings up 15, Malik Monk to Sabonis. Sabonis gets a tough layup. That's the 44th straight double-double. Ties Moses Malone for third longest streak since the NBA merger. Kings up big, and they would run away with it. De'Aaron Fox had 44 points. That ties his career high. LeBron James, though, headed back to the locker room before the game ended. Here is him on his ankle.
You left the game with under 4 minutes left. Darvin said he saw you grimace.
Yeah, I'll be all right. Some games is better than others. I didn't feel it at all versus OKC, and I didn't feel it at all until the fourth quarter tonight. So it's just each game, each day is different.
Look, the Lakers are going to need LeBron on the court. They have a very tough stretch of games coming up. Look at the next four, Minnesota, Milwaukee, a rematch against these Kings in Sacramento, and then the Warriors, all four of these games on ESPN or ABC. So we have to bring back Woj to the conversation because, as LeBron said, he's been dealing with this ankle for a while. So how concerned, Woj, are the Lakers about this long term?
Shanae, not so much long term, but probably, you know, for the rest of this season. You know, this is an injury, as Dave McMiniman described last night, that's a wear and tear injury on that left ankle. I was told today, you know, that it's something LeBron James has had to manage throughout the season, especially since right prior to the All-Star break. And he's going to continue to have to manage this ankle injury, you know, through the rest of the season. This is still a player in his 25th year. You know, that is among the league leaders in points at the rim. You know, he is, you know, certainly planting hard on that ankle. He is, you know, he is not a jump shooter at this point in his career. So, you know, you are going to put a lot of stress on that ankle. Again, 21st season, 39 years old. You know, this is just part of what LeBron James has to manage now. And that doesn't mean there won't be some days off perhaps between now and the end of the year, you know, to help manage that. But I'm told there's no expectation that he's going to have to miss time if it, you know, just continues to be what it has been. And that's sort of an on again, off again pain tolerance issue for him.
So a number of teams having to manage their stars in the West. Thank you, Woj, for joining us and giving us these updates for these key players down the stretch. We'll talk to you again soon. Now, since the Lakers will be running it back soon, let's dive into this matchup further. Sabonis has gotten the better of AD when guarding each other in these matchups half court. But, you know, if you look at this overall, it's the points. It's also the assists where he has truly separated himself. So we've got two of the best bigs in Sabonis and AD matching up, and they're going to have a rematch again soon. Now, it should have been a battle of the bigs, but maybe you didn't see so much battle on Los Angeles' part?
Well, I would have a lot to say to that defense, particularly in the second quarter. But looking to this matchup with Sabonis, hold up. Let's stop right here. First of all, you see Sabonis up guarding the pick and roll. So when we're talking about these matchups, I think Sabonis' try-hard factor, the attention to detail, he's up, he's engaged in this ball hand, this pick and roll. And if you let it roll here, he keeps the ball in front. They stop the ball, stop right here. And he's picking the ball, he's in front. And the name of the game with Sabonis is angles, right? He has figured out these angles going against Anthony Davis. So here, he does a great job knowing the scout, moves his feet, takes the bump and contact, instill verticality at the rim. That's a tough shot, okay? He wins that battle. We go down to the other end, now on the offensive end. Stop. AD, where you at, man? I know you're in a drop, you're pushing on the sidelines, I get it. You can still be up and involved. A little bit of presence on the ball, because what happened throughout the course of the game, not just with this matchup, is the ball penetration got way too deep into the Laker defense. And if you run it right here, we have no physicality on the ball. Stop. Right here. Impact the ball. You're doing nothing back there.
He's chilling.
He's chilling. Come on, AD. Come right here. You can still get this angle back and keep him up. And instead of meeting Sabonis down here at the rim as we run it, you'd be meeting him up here. Again, just too deep into the gut of the Laker defense.
Yeah, I think you were joking, you know, before the show. You could have been out there, you know, playing a little bit of defense as a guard fighting over the screens. But this is what's crazy right here. It wasn't just last night. In his career, Sabonis is 9-0 head-to-head versus Anthony Davis. And they will meet again, as I mentioned earlier, in a week. So we will see what happens. So, Scott, what concerns you the most from what you saw from the Lakers last night?
Well, Becky touched on it beautifully at the end. Is that penetration into the lane. And as any basketball player or basketball coach knows, that is how you beat a defense, is penetrating constantly. And that's the worst thing a defense can happen to a team defensively. De'Aaron Fox got into that lane all night for easy layups, easy floaters, 32 of his 44 points. It forces defensive teams to start to rotate, help too much, and that's where we know a lot of mistakes are made during those times. So the Lakers are going to have to shore that up, because they get into the playoffs, they're going to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who can get downhill. Mm. They're going to see Anthony Edwards, who can get downhill. Jamal Murray, who can get downhill. So the list goes on and on. They got to show up that perimeter defense.
And Becky, you just did an excellent job breaking down the issues with AD, sort of not being aggressive on defense. But Brian, more than likely LeBron will need some nights off down the stretch. Can AD carry the team on those nights, especially offensively?
Well, AD is actually having a really great season. He had his 50th double-double of the year, but that stat that we showed a second ago, that Sabonis is 9-0 against AD in his career, that is very relevant, not just because they're playing again here in a few days in Sacramento, but because this is lined up to potentially be a play-in matchup, potentially a winner-take-all matchup to advance. And, you know, the thing about Sabonis is he's really tough to deal with in near the basket. He's number one in the league in rebounding, and he's the best defensive rebounder in the league. When he plays AD, he takes away the offensive rebound. That's a big part of AD's game, because over the last two or three seasons, he's just stopped taking those outside shots. If you go back and look, he's nowhere near the same outside shooter that he was when the Lakers won the title back in 2020. And when you don't have Sabonis in space, that plays to his advantage. And it's played to his advantage in these last nine matchups. And it's a schematic thing, and it's something for the Lakers to be concerned about, not just for the standings, but for the actual head-to-heads with the Kings, which there could be some giant ones in the very near future.
Look, we have had some great head-to-heads, especially when we're looking at the play-in, the Lakers trying to move up, but we also have another, because still to come on NBA Today, do the Nuggets and the Celtics have the best chance of making the finals this year? Well, grab your popcorn, because they battle it out in Denver tonight. Plus, our very own Malika Andrews sat down with MVP hopeful Shai Gilgeous Alexander. Do not miss that exclusive conversation in just a few minutes. And the Warriors, they snapped the Bucks' 6-game winning streak with a statement win. Are good vibes back in the Bay? I mean, Clay surely thinks so.
What a day. Look at this day, people. Look at this. Are you kidding me? That is glassy. That is glassy. That's what we all came to see.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Presented by Intuit Credit Karma. Everything you need to outsmart the system and reach your financial goals.
Let's talk a little MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander scored 37 points in OKC's win against Portland last night. This season, SGA is second in the league in scoring at 31 points per game while leading the Thunder to a current tie for first in the Western Conference standings. SGA is now one 30-point game away from tying KD for the most in a season in franchise history. Now, side note, that was KD's MVP season, by the way. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sat down with Malika Andrews this week. Take a listen.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is on another level.
Goodness! Shai Gilgeous-Alexander!
One of the great emerging superstars in this game.
GQ said you are the most stylish NBA player 2 years running, I believe. Describe your style in a couple of words.
I think it's authentic who I am. It's how I feel. It's just natural, effortless.
Do you think of basketball as a form of art, as your form of art?
Absolutely. Especially how creative the game is today. A lot of it is just feel. A guy cuts me off, I do a move. He cuts me off again, I do another move. Something fun and good just happens.
Stops on a dime, Shai knocks it down.
You guys are the youngest team in the NBA. The chemistry that you all have, do you have a appreciation for how special that is?
Absolutely. No knock on my first year in the NBA, it was amazing. That was the first time in my life I was on a team with like older guys with kids and a family. This team feels like a college team, like a high school team, like an AAU team.
Young thoroughbreds led by a brother that is busting everybody's you know what.
Anthony Edwards, he was asked recently in an interview with my colleague Stephen A. Smith about the next generation, you, Luka. And he said, I'm better than both those guys.
I expected him to say that. I wouldn't expect him to say one of us is better than him. The thing about NBA players, and especially guys that are that talented, we all believe we're the best. We all believe what we bring to the table is special and unique, and he has every right to think so.
And so you do too.
Absolutely.
When the team is succeeding, led by you, who leads the league in total points, in total steals, the MVP conversation comes with it. What would it mean to you to win MVP?
Yeah, it would be special. Something you dream about as a kid. I can't remember what exact game it was. I just know I was watching like a Kobe game, mm-hmm. and the crowd was chanting MVP. It was at the free throw line. And I just remember like immediately after the game was over, going outside, chanting MVP to myself at the free throw line, kind of just hoping and dreaming that one day I'd be in that moment. It was kind of crazy that I had that.
People have chanted MVP at you, to you, when you're standing at the free throw line.
Yeah, it's surreal. It's an amazing feeling. Yeah. It's the best feeling.
When you look 5 years from now, back at your career, what would be a successful five-year run?
If we win an NBA championship.
Do you think that that's something that you're capable of this year?
I think we are capable of anything. Would it be amazing? Would it be? It's all stuff you dream about, but at the core of it, at my root, it's just getting up in the morning and thinking about love.
Look, you've got to believe to achieve. Here's a look at the current MVP odds. According to ESPN Bet, Jokic is the favorite with SGA coming in at second at plus 220. So Jokic has a pretty sizable lead in the MVP race over SGA right now. So Brian, is there any path for SGA to catch Jokic and win MVP this season?
I think it would really take the Thunder to win the number one seed and him to be a big factor in doing so. Jokic has been so terrific. He's got a bunch of big-time games left on his schedule, including tonight, obviously, against the Celtics. But I do think for him to have a real chance, and I think he's going to get one eventually, I do think he would sort of need that bullet point as the core part of his case.
Well, I think also to add to that, you know, Jokic is still shining his championship trophy, and I think a lot of this is just exposure, right? Like, we talk about Jokic all the time. I don't ever want to become numb to his greatness because I think he's one of the most phenomenal players to ever walk the planet, if I'm being honest. But, Shea, we just don't see him a lot in Oklahoma City. But what they're building, what Sam Presti is building specifically and putting these pieces around, gives a great shot to win a championship. And as you know, once you win a championship, that's really where so many people are just gauged. And they're building down there. So it's exciting to watch.
You make a terrific point. I think that Shea is setting the table for next season. Coming into the year, he'll be an odds-on favorite to maybe win the award, assuming that the Thunder continue to stay at the top of the Western Conference. The remainder of this year, he just needs to continue like playing like he's been playing, keep them up near the top of the Western Conference. Jokic, look, you can't take anything away from the guy. I think he has impacted the game in more areas. You know, not only is he a top 15 scorer, he's top five in both rebounding and assists. So it's going to be difficult to catch him in this year's race.
See, normally I love our producers and our researchers. Schwartz is like literally one of the best in the businesses, right? But there was one category that Shea actually owns that was not on that graphic. It's steals.
Right.
He leads the league in steals. And so if we're going to talk about Jokic and his assists, steals are hard to come by. So I got to put respect on that. But no shade to you, Schwartz. No shade to you. But Becky, what do you think about this path for OKC? Because if they're going to, if he wants to win MVP, right, they need to be at the top and they need to make some noise in the playoffs. Can you see them getting there?
Well, obviously, they've proven that they can win. Now, winning in the playoffs and winning in the regular season, playoffs is a different animal. It just is. So I think, yes, they're placing themselves in a good spot to make a nice, deep run. The injury to Kat influences whether, you know, they bump up or not. But Denver,
huge.
I could still see sneaking in and grabbing that number one spot. I still think the championship goes through Denver.
You know, Becky, you annoying me because you said, you know what, you looked at me and you said, you know when you win a championship, the last time I won a championship was state championship, okay? So I can't relate to that all the way, but you know who else can? The Nuggets, because do the Nuggets and the Celtics have the best chance at making the finals this year? Well, grab your popcorn. We are going live to Denver next.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bang! It went out with a bang!
Mike Breen?
You said bang. That's my line.
Well, I meant more of like an electrical fire bang.
Like this?
Bang!
No, like
bang!
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 That's a pretty good bang. But what are we gonna do about this bang? Oh, you don't need a catchphrase. You need a jingle. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm is here to help.
Bang!
He really went out with a bang.
The NBA on ESPN, presented by State Farm.
Bang! I love that one. Let's catch you up as there were eight games on the NBA slate last night. So let's go coast to coast. Starting in Utah, DeMar DeRozan led the Bulls to a win over the Jazz last night. But that's not what had the streets talking, because towards the end of the game, there was an altercation between several players, John Collins, Bulls assistant Chris Fleming. Becky, as a coach, what's your reaction to this?
Well, first of all, you got to have a plan in place before this happens. Now, Torrey Craig is a dog, and he was talking clearly. He was barking a little too much. But you got to have your guy. You got to have your guy that is on your bench to help maintain the bench. You saw Andre Drummond getting in there.
Becky, I've seen your players hold you back too, okay? From Utah to D.C., where the Magic stormed back from down 21 points to win versus the Wizards. The Magic won their fifth straight game and are 13-3 in their last 16 games. So, Brian, are the Magic currently being slept on a little bit?
Well, first off, wretched loss for the Wizards, 16th consecutive. My God. The Magic have taken advantage of everybody in the East being banged up. Look at what they've been able to do. They've climbed up the standings. They're the healthiest team. They could get one of these top four seeds.
Now to my city, H-Town, where Alperen Şengün became the first player in Rockets history with 60 points, 35 rebounds, 15 assists in a two-game span. However, the Clippers overcame a 20-point deficit to win. So, Scott, do you like where the Clippers are with 21 games left?
They're just in the late season lull right now. And they came out flat last night, which let me know they missed Russell Westbrook. But hey, they did what good teams do. They closed it out in the end.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish. My feelings are still hurt. And sticking in the West, the Warriors hosted the Red Hot Bucks last night in the Bay. And Steph Curry had it going early. Warriors up 21-16. And then again, from the mid-range. I mean, next Warriors possession, though, you got to love the deep range. You got Kelsey Plum. You got so many great players. Jackie Young.
I mean.
And now he's playing golf.
Golf. I love here. That.
Where's your pickup point there, Brooke? Come on, Brooke.
We're talking about
get
offense
up.
Here. Golden
get
State.
There. Yeah,
exactly. Golden State did have 40 in the first quarter. Bam. Electric right there for the Warriors to go up 69-53. And then a little bit later. Okay. Now we're moving. We're going. And then here we see it, Draymond to Jonathan Kuminga for the finish. Warriors up 73-53, up 20. Now a minute later, Warriors up 19, Steph Curry. I mean, this is filthy, Scott.
Oh, that was, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
Exactly. What are you going to do?
There's nothing you can do. My co-host from college.
Exactly. It's business, exactly.
We called that prayer defense. Golden State led 78-58 at the half. 20 points is their largest halftime lead this season, and it just kept going. But watch this. Giannis, we don't see often that he gets blocked twice. Wow, good job, Jackson Davis, for those big blocks. And then on the other end, you got to pay it off, right? Bam. All the way through. Steph Curry had 29 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists. Also, Jackson Davis had 15 points and 4 blocks. The Warriors win, and they ended the win streak. Let's hear from the chef right after.
Unfortunately, the nature of the NBA, like, you can get a hit with a bus out like we did in Boston, and there's a temptation to, you know, forget the body of work that we've had over, you know, the last 2 months, month and a half, and the identity that we've been trying to create. And for us to respond the way we did coming home was big. You know, we have 21 games left, and every game matters. So for us to be able to turn the page and, you know, play with conviction and confidence after getting beat down like that, it shows, you know, what we're trying to build and who we are.
So the Warriors followed up their 52-point loss Sunday in Boston by beating the Bucks at home by 35 points. That's the largest win following a 50-point loss in NBA history. So we got two polar opposite results in the Warriors' last two games. Brian, though, I always think of that Eminem line, right? Will the real Golden State Warriors please stand up? Please stand up. What's the real version of the Warriors that we're witnessing?
Forget about that game on Sunday. I've almost never seen a team dominate another team like the Celtics did to the Warriors. Move it aside. Pay attention, like Steph said, to the way they've played the last 6-7 weeks. That's the Warriors team to watch. Their record, which is in 9th place, is not indicative of the team that they are. I keep having people say, well, they're not like the 2022 championship team. You're right. They're not. They have different styles of weapons, specifically Jonathan Kuminga. Watch how this guy dominates the interior. I don't think in this last decade run that the Warriors have had that they've ever had an interior scoring presence like Kuminga brings to them. It's a whole nother way that they can attack. Yeah, they don't shoot as well. Yeah, they don't run the perimeter as well as they did before. But watch this guy go to the basket and score close to the hoop. Plus, they've got all these young guys that are contributing, not just Kuminga, but Trayce Jackson-Davis. By the way, it wasn't 2 times he blocked Giannis in the 3rd quarter last night. It was three times he blocked him in the quarter. Plus, Brandon Pajemski has been a real addition to their starting lineup. They got a lot going for them. Yeah, they're in ninth place. They also have the easiest schedule out of all those teams. They could be in sixth and a real factor by the time we get to mid-April.
That is so true. And I'd like to also welcome everyone who was watching the Atlanta-Boston game to NBA Today as we discussed the Golden State Warriors really taking down the Bucks. Are you buying in on the Warriors making some noise come the final stretch of the season?
Well, I agree a little bit with Brian in the sense of, like, I don't think they're that bad. I don't think they're that good. Now, they're hitting their stride at the right time. But when you look at whether it's the Golden State Warriors or the Milwaukee Bucks, the defense, your offense is amazing on both sides of the ball. Whatever team digs into that defensive end and decides they want to play that end of the ball, that is going to be the team that has ultimately success in the playoffs.
And you never can underestimate championship pedigree, and that's what's showing with the Warriors. They've got the best record in the league since February, in the Western Conference, I'm sorry. And you've seen the leadership really happen now with Draymond Green being back and playing consistently with this team. They're bringing the young players along so well right now, in particular Jonathan Kuminga. They're gaining confidence. You see a confident basketball team. I think that they will be a dangerous out. The only thing that worries me about them is the lack of size on the interior. But other than that, I think they're obviously very well coached, and they will be bringing a ton of playoff experience and championship pedigree to whoever they play.
I think the approach, too, of guys settling into new roles, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Chris Paul is your backup point guard.
Yeah.
So coming together and being healthy at the right time, you have Klay Thompson sitting right there. This is a very dangerous team. How far they can go, I don't know. But health in that defensive end of the of the board.
A tremendous luxury to be bringing Klay Thompson and
off the bench.
Off the bench.
Yeah, that is true. But still to come right here on NBA Today, do the Nuggets and the Celtics have the best chance at making the finals this year? Grab your popcorn again because we are going live to Denver next.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today presented by Intuit Credit Karma.
4.9 to go. Boston down by two. Right into Tatum. Tough catch. Spins for the tie. Short. Rebounded. Denver ends the 20-game home win dominance in what feels like something we could see again in about 5.5 months.
Welcome into NBA Today as tonight's matchup features the two biggest favorites to win it all this year with the Celtics at plus 225 and the Nuggets at plus 450. NBA reporter Tim Bontemps is in Denver for the rematch tonight. So Tim, what is their mindset going into this matchup versus the defending champs?
Well, Chinea, you guys played the sound there, the video, I should say, of that shot at the end of that game in January between Denver and Boston at TD Garden, where Jason Tatum missed that shot over Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to give the Denver Nuggets a win in that game. Go to Tuesday night when the Celtics had that collapse against the Cavs. It was a similar situation. Jason Tatum with the ball in his hands, down one, chance to win the game, missed a jumper at the end of the game. Celtics go on to lose. And for both Derek White and Jaylen Brown, those late game execution moments, that is something that the Celtics are focused on both today and moving forward. Now, with the way the Celtics have been rolling through the season, coming off an 11-game winning streak that set a record in NBA history for point differential, they have not had a lot of moments, Shanae, where they've been in close, tight situations like that. And we'll see if they get one tonight against Denver. Certainly a good chance of it. But whether it's tonight or in games going forward, those are the moments Boston knows they need to clean up, because when they get to the playoffs, the Celtics know there's going to be a whole lot more of those kind of moments ahead of them. And they need to be a lot better than they've been both in the game Tuesday and in the first game between these two teams back in January.
But that game Tuesday was kind of historic in the way that we've seen a team that is top in the NBA go. And then in the fourth quarter, they blew a 22-point lead. So what are they saying personally about bouncing back from that one? And I want you to be safe, because you do have some video bombers behind you. So no distractions there for you as well.
Yeah, we'll see if the mascots come over here and give us any trouble. But, I mean, look, the Celtics really did not think too much about that game on Tuesday night. They obviously were disappointed. I was at the game Tuesday. It was certainly a somber locker room with the way that game went away from them. But talked to Derek White afterward, asked him, what did you learn about your team during that winning streak? He said, frankly, I didn't learn a lot. I was already really confident in our group, and one game like this doesn't change that. And that was the message that the Celtics really had across the board, other than, you know, Jaylen Brown, like he did today, saying we need to really lock in and be focused on a day-to-day basis, something he and frankly the rest of the Celtics, Janae, have been saying throughout their winning streak and really throughout the entire season. This is a team that knows that just getting back to the finals like they did 2 years ago against Golden State is not going to be good enough for them. There's really only one acceptable outcome, which is getting to the finals and winning that 18th championship banner. Anything short of that is going to be a disappointment, and that's really been the mentality they've had from training camp all the way up until now.
So it sounds like the Celtics are going into this big matchup versus the defending champs not distracted. You also are one of the best in the business, not distracted, giving you giving all of us the great information. So we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you for spending some time, Tim, as we move ahead. Because despite those late game struggles, luckily for Boston, they haven't had to play many close games. They have an average scoring differential of 11.2 points per game. That is the best in the NBA since the 2017 champion Warriors. So let's bring the rest of our panel in, because this is obviously a huge game, and we're going to learn a lot about the Celtics in this one tonight. But do you think right now that the Boston Celtics are the better team?
Ooh, that's a tough question. I think going into this, he talked about the mindset, right? And I think from a coaching standpoint, you want to drop a nugget, just
pun intended,
into your not only your own team's head that, hey, we can win here, but also a little doubt maybe in Denver that, like, they can beat you in Denver. Now, the closing thing is a real deal. And, right, it's not a thing till it becomes a thing, but it's becoming a thing. They got to find that guy that closes the games for them, does it at an efficient clip. And when they find that guy, I think the sky's the limit. But I think this is a mental thing right now for Boston more than anything.
Brian, do you think that this is a mental matchup? This is something that will give Boston confidence so that they can make it to the NBA Finals and actually bring home banner number 18?
This is such a big game. I mean, as a regular season game, you can never put too much weight on it. But this is such an important game, because the last two games, we have seen Boston at their absolute best. The way they played Sunday, if they replicated that during the spring, they would walk to a championship. I've almost never seen more impressive play than I saw in the first half of that game. And they were at their worst 48 hours later against the Cavs, where they completely froze up down the stretch in clutch time, something we've seen happen to them time and time again that has given them trouble in the playoffs the last 2 years. So here we have this moment where they've seen the angel and the devil on their two shoulders, their best and their worst, going to Denver. This is a perfect situation. The injury report is clean. Everybody's had time off. Boston flew there on Tuesday night. They've been in the altitude for 48 hours. This is a great opportunity. Denver is awesome at home. This is strength on strength. The opportunity for the Celtics to make a statement. I can't wait for this game. There's really nothing that truly comes out of it, but the way that the Celtics play is a real indication of where their relative standing is to the champs. And I for one, cannot wait for this game tonight.
Definitely a big-time matchup in the regular season. But I wouldn't put, you know, just everything on it. It's important for both teams. I think that these are the two best teams in their respective divisions by far. They both, I think the Boston Celtics have the best starting five in the league. And then Denver has the best player on the floor in this matchup in Nikola Jokic. My issue with both of these teams is their bench play. Neither team has, to me, an outstanding bench.
and whose bench can play better. First time they played each other, they got 13 points off the bench, each team. When Denver won the championship last year, they had two key contributors, Bruce Brown and Jeff Green.
True.
And if you're going to try to win 16 games going all the way to win an NBA championship, it is hugely important that along that way you get some bench contribution that helps you win a game or two per series. So I don't know who that's going to be for these respective teams.
Yeah, and since you're talking about series, we have a Hall of Fame coach, a back-to-back champion here for the Las Vegas Aces. So how would you go into a matchup knowing that in the future, in a few months, you might see this again?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's about as big as a regular season matchup that you can have, but you're not going to throw them your whole hand, especially when you know you might be seeing them down the road in more important games, such as the playoffs and the NBA Finals. So, you're holding your cards a little bit
closer.
So you
held your cards versus the New York Liberty multiple times this past season, Becky?
We actually did, and that's why they beat us by 20 at their place every time.
But you had your way. You had your way in game four. But as a coach, what are you telling the Boston Celtics? Because Denver has just done it, but the Celtics want to do it now.
Listen, we just saw how champions respond to a little
Golden State
meltdown
in Boston,
right? Yeah. So you saw how Golden State responded. They're proven champions. I think Boston is still trying to get with this specific group. Obviously, we know there's many champions in the Boston line, but this group is trying to get into that championship conversation. And when you have your worst outing, you know, how do you bounce back? Show me some resiliency. Show me some mental toughness. Yep. And no better team to do it against than the defending champs. Like, let's go.
Correct.
What you got.
And I see that's how Joe Mazzulla's going to challenge that group going into the game.
That is true. But I think a lot of people say, hey, the Nuggets are the favorites, but they're still in the Western Conference. So, Brian, who would you be more surprised by if they did not show up in the NBA Finals?
I guess probably Boston, because the teams in the East are all banged up right now. None of their top competition is playing at their best. Now, we're in early to mid-March here. I don't know who's going to be healthy and who's playing well. But it's Boston and then a lot of injury reports behind them. They are definitely a step above everybody else. In the West, you can make a case for two or three, four different teams, even though Denver is the leader amongst them. So I would suspect that Boston has the easier path, but you make assumptions in the NBA, you start to get embarrassed. I've certainly seen that.
I love that. Now, oh, man, this is going to be a great game tonight. Now, Boston's road trip after continues with our Saturday primetime game on ABC and the ESPN app. Jason Tatum, the Celtics, face Kevin Durant and the Suns in Phoenix. Our coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 8 Eastern. Now, coming up, we revisit the top story of the day with the latest on T-Wolves star Karl-Anthony Towns and how it affects the race for the number one overall seed in the West. Stay with us. This is NBA Today with your girl, Shanae.
Is presented by Intuit Credit Karma. Everything you need to outsmart the system and reach your financial goals.
Tip off your weekend with our next ESPN NBA Friday doubleheader. Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs host Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves at 7:30 Eastern. Then Giannis and the Bucks continue their West Coast road trip against LeBron and the Lakers. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 7 Eastern. Back to our top story. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, T-Wolves star Karl-Anthony Towns suffered a meniscus injury and is undergoing further evaluation to decide whether immediate action is needed or if he can continue to play with rehab. Now, the T-Wolves, they enter tonight's game tied with the Thunder for the top seed out West. Now, obviously, their playoff pursuit could get so much more difficult if they're without Kat for an extended period of time. So let's look at the playoff predictor because, Scott, if you look at Minnesota's upcoming schedule, they are staring down a very difficult six-game road trip or stand, especially because you've got the Pacers, you've got the Cavs, you've got the Lakers, you've got the Clippers, and you've got the Jazz. So do you think that they're able to keep going and try to maintain this top spot, given that Kat might be out for the foreseeable future?
I really do. And here's why. Minnesota's the top-ranked defensive team, so they still have Rudy Gobert on the interior. And this is a chance for Anthony Edwards, who I believe is a top-10 player already, to elevate his game become a top five player. And if he wants to be the face of the league, this is how he starts showing it.
Yeah, and when we saw him go, you know, preseason to overseas and represent USA, he made the next jump. This is now another opportunity to show that he is that guy. He is that all-star. Now, Becky, who can try to really capitalize on this opportunity now and make a run at the run seed in the West?
Well, without Kat, that puts a lot of pressure on that Minnesota offense and defense. But I look at Denver coming in with the easiest schedule, okay, remaining. Besides that one tonight, we know that's a big one, okay? But it's easiest in the NBA. I think they're going to slide into that number one slot. I think OKC stays at number two, and I actually think Minnesota slides down.
Oh, you think Minnesota slides down. That is tough news. But right here, you're looking at the defending champs. That's crazy. They have an easy opportunity to the top. Only one game back if you look at the standings, which we have here. So we talked about the top of the top. Let's go dive into a little bit the play-in, because right now that race would include Hall of Famers LeBron James and Steph Curry. And here's how our playoff predictor thinks these two teams will finish. Let's look over there. You see right there, makes the playoffs. You see the Lakers with a 43% chance. And you see the Warriors, though, Golden State, with a 64% chance. So, and also looking at the Warriors, they have the seventh easiest remaining schedule. They're currently the eighth seed. And then the Lakers, ooh, tough news. You see that, Becky?
Yeah.
13th toughest schedule. But they are at home. You see a lot of home games, but that big rematch versus the Kings as well. So looking at the two, Becky, who would you say escapes, if possible, the play-in? Is it the Lakers or is it the Warriors?
I think Golden State Warriors escape the play-in. Not just because of their schedule, but how they're playing, too. They're playing their best basketball probably of the year throughout this last month and a half, as we've discussed. The Lakers, from what I saw last night, with this team right here.
It's a bonus.
The defense and the want to and the gritty and the tough and all that stuff. Like, Laker Nation, that's what y'all need. Let me see that part. And let me see AD come up and start being the best player on the floor for this team on any given night.
Look, I understand the Golden State Warriors are hot. I'd like to bring in Brian Windhorst into the conversation because he knows better than anybody else not to bet against LeBron James. But who you got coming out of the play-in? Is it the Warriors or the Lakers, Brian?
One of the things that the strength of schedule doesn't take into account is the head-to-head matchups. So, for example, Becky was just talking about how the Nuggets can catch the Timberwolves. They've got three meetings left. The bulk plus the tiebreaker of their matchups for the year is in there. And that's what I'll say about the Warriors. The Warriors have three meetings left with the Mavericks. Not only do they have the easiest schedule amongst these teams, they get to play the team directly in front of them three times where they can control how they move. Not only that, the Suns have far and away the hardest schedule of any of those teams left. I think the Warriors, who have played the best basketball of these teams over the last 6 weeks, have the most favorable schedule and can control the destiny of the team directly playing in front of them with head-to-head matchups, have the best opportunity. And I'm telling you, while the Warriors are a flawed team, while there are some matchups that they would have difficulty with because of size differential, I think the Warriors have the best opportunity to get into that top six, and getting that is almost like winning a little mini playoff series in itself.
Look, the Warriors versus the Lakers. Becky, what's your final thought on those two Hall of Famers going head-to-head, one game, all on the line? Like, I would have never foresaw that going into the season.
Yeah, as an opposing coach, you don't want to see either Steph or LeBron. You just don't want to. They're too good. They have the ability to take over a game. But I really love what Brian said in the sense of the Warriors can, like, you can make your own destiny. You're not hoping another team loses or something. It's right in front of you. You want it, you can go get it.
You can. You said make your own destiny. That's like manifest destiny. I think the Warriors are manifesting more wins to come. But this Western Conference standings, it could be, as Stephen A. would say, it's very fluid. Many opportunities based off the news from the Timberwolves. We'll see what happens.